The Gospel Explained from the Old Testament to the New Testament. I believe the Bible is the one and only true Word of God. It says in 2 Timothy, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Also in Hebrews, the Word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. I also believe God created the heavens and the earth, the sun, the moon, and all the galaxies by His Word. God also created a perfect garden called the Garden of Eden. The garden had all kinds of trees and vegetation that were pleasant to the sight and good for food. There were no weeds, no pestilence, no earthquakes. God also placed animals in the garden. They lived in harmony. They didn't fight or kill each other. God then created man, and He created woman, Adam and Eve, to walk and have fellowship with Him. They had an open relationship with God, and God was open to them. God gave man dominion over the garden and all the animals in the garden. Now there were also two trees in the middle of that garden, the tree of life and the other the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave man only one command, that he should not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in that day he ate, he would die. Did Adam and Eve know what death was? I don't know. Now Satan came into the garden to deceive the woman and the man. Adam and Eve had a choice, and they listened to Satan instead of God. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As soon as they had eaten from that forbidden tree, they were aware of their nakedness. When God came to them in the garden, they hid themselves because they were ashamed. Their disobedience separated them from God. God had to kill an animal to clothe their nakedness. God then cast them out of the garden, placed an angel to guard the entrance, because if man had eaten from the tree of life, he would have lived forever, and there would have been a sin problem forever. Adam and Eve now live in a different world than what God created for them. Before, they only had to tend to the garden. Now they will have to toil the ground for their food. Then Adam and Eve had children. Their children killed each other, and they had children who killed each other, and so on. As man multiplied, his self-centeredness and heart was intent on every evil he could think of. Murder, sexual immorality, idolatry, adultery, stealing, and lying. Satan is the prince of this world. His intent is to kill, steal, and destroy. Sin became so bad upon the earth, God regretted making man, and decided to destroy everything on the face of the earth. But God found one man, Noah, who was a just man and walked with God. God saved Noah and his family in an ark through the water. When they landed on dry ground, God said, "Multiply and fill the earth." But again, as man multiplied, sin also multiplied: murder, sexual immorality, and idolatry. Man doing what is right in his own eyes is rejecting God. Because the problem is not earth, the problem is man. Man is born with a sin nature. Let's talk about sin, because people don't understand it and they don't see it. We all compare ourselves to others. You look at someone and say, "I haven't done what he or she has done. I'm not as bad as that person." You set up your own standard of right and wrong, from your own culture, from how you were taught, or the influence of others. You choose your own ideas and thoughts of what you think is right and wrong. But we should compare ourselves to God's righteous standard of right and wrong. The Bible says liars will go to the lake of fire. That means hell. You may think lying's not so bad, but if I lie to a child, what can a child do to me? If I lie to a spouse, well, there are a lot of divorces over lying spouses. If I lie to my boss on a job, I can be fired. If I lie to a judge in the court of law, I can go to jail. So it's not just what you do, it's who you do it against, the authority that person has to administer the punishment or the consequences. The Ten Commandments say, "Thou shalt not murder." But Jesus said, "If you have hatred for your neighbor, you've committed murder in your heart." The Ten Commandments also say, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." But Jesus said, if you lust after someone, or let's say in this day and age you enjoy pornography, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Say I take a photo of you with my phone. It has a special app that creates a video of your whole life from one photo. Now you have done a lot of good things, but this video only records your sins. Just as in a court of law, a judge doesn't look at the good things you've done. The judge only looks at the crime committed. This video shows things you've done behind closed doors, things you've done in secret, in the darkness, those things you don't want anyone to know. Now what if I put that video up on a screen for all your family and friends to see? You would be ashamed and think you're ashamed in front of people who also have their own hidden secrets and sins. One day you're going to stand before a righteous God, a holy God who created you. You're going to be judged on the things you've done, what you didn't do, what you said, even your thoughts. The Bible says if you break one commandment, you've broken them all. You don't get 1 out of 5 or 2 out of 10. In that day when you stand before God, you're not going to blame your parents, your college professor, or your spouse. You're going to stand naked and ashamed. You will fall on your face and cry guilty. I am guilty. I deserve hell because God is good and I'm not. God's not the problem, we are. We are born with a sin nature. But God had a plan from the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. God sent his son Jesus 2,000 years ago, born of a virgin and born of God, not of man. Jesus grew up sinless. He didn't lie, he didn't cheat, and he didn't steal. And when Jesus was 30 years old, he was baptized into the water. And when Jesus came out of the water, the Spirit of God came upon him. Then Jesus walked around preaching to everyone, repentance, the kingdom of God is near, healing the sick and casting out demons. Then he was hung on a cross, an innocent man to die. And then he was buried. If Jesus had committed one sin, he would have been guilty. But because he was sinless, he rose from the dead and he now sits at the right hand of God the Father. God made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin, a sin offering for us, so in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. A man once asked Jesus, "What should I do to be saved?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." What is born again? It is repentance to God and baptism into the name of Jesus. What is repentance or to repent? It is recognizing you have sinned against a holy God, confessing that sin, turning away from that sin, and putting your faith into Jesus. When you have repented, God takes that stone heart of yours that is selfish and sinful, and he puts in a new heart, a conscience with a desire to do good and sensitive to evil. Now let's talk about the conscience. A baby does not have a conscience. They don't understand the concept of right and wrong. They run around naked and they're not ashamed. Sometimes they actually love it. One day when they are at a certain age, suddenly they realize they're naked and they yell, "Don't come in my bedroom or the bathroom. I'm not dressed." But as a child grows up, their conscience becomes dull to sin by the things they watch on television, what they see in the movies and on social media, the music they listen to, and or the culture they grow up in and how they're taught. Now, just a side note, you don't have to teach a child to misbehave. They are born with that sin nature. You have to teach, correct, and guide them to do what is right. The law of sin is like gravity. If I take my phone, I hold it up and let it go, it's going to drop. That's gravity. No matter how many times I say, "I do not believe in gravity," my phone's going to drop. It's the same with sin. The more you sin and deny it is sin, the more you become a slave to it. When you have repented, you receive a new life. God puts a new heart inside of you. But you still have a dead body. What do you do with a dead body? You bury it. That's why baptism is important. You're burying your old sinful nature with Christ. Your sins are washed away. You come up out of the water a new person with a new life. You are born again. The old self is gone. Then God sends his Holy Spirit to live in you, the same Holy Spirit that came upon Jesus in baptism, the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. It isn't you get a small Holy Spirit and Jesus gets a big Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit. He's a person. Then Jesus commanded his followers in Matthew, Mark, and Luke to go out and preach the gospel, telling people to repent, to be baptized into the name of Jesus, laying hands on the sick, and to cast out demons. There are those who believe and have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they are a witness to the signs that have followed them and others. But that is between you and God to accept and reject. There is a warning in Revelation 22:18 through 20. Now this is John writing by the inspiration of God, and he says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book." This is the gospel explained from the Old Testament to the New Testament. We have friends and family in our life that are unbelievers, or who claim to be a Christian, but yet there is no evidence of that in their life. I was influenced over a year ago by another follower of Jesus to write this gospel story to help me to talk to someone else. I created a short outline to help me memorize key points. Then when God opens an opportunity to share, I am prepared with the help of the Holy Spirit. I hope this will be a helpful tool. Please allow it to be a casual conversation without sounding like a rehearsed presentation. You will find many scriptures for all the key points in the story that can help when a person asks questions. There is also a full written out presentation as spoken on this audio. Thank you.